Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hey, we're back. We're black and brown. Hey, Mandy.
Hey, Tiff.
How was your day?
My day was long. I had to get up at 3 a.m. to catch a flight. Well, I didn't have to get up at 3, but you know when you have like the early flight and then your anxiety wakes you up at 3 and you're like, why anxiety? Yeah.
Did you pack in the morning or did you pack last night?
I just grabbed a few things in the morning because I'm only staying one night just for work.
Okay.
Shout out to Starbucks.
I actually went by the house today and I think I picked out a tile that I really like. It's called Africa Tempesta.
Ooh.
Intriguing. I know. It's well, honestly, it's a marble with, so this is like my accent tile in the kitchen and the master bath. It's a marble with like a little like blue in it. And I really thought it was pretty. So I'm like, yay. Cause like, I'm going to do a lot of like white subway just to keep things clean. But I wanted something that was going to, you know, something a little fancy for trim. So I was excited to buy the samples today so we can go around and look at other materials to see if the sample goes with it.
Are you guys doing everything on your own as far as like picking and choosing colors and tiles and stuff? Or are you working with anyone to help?
Well, I'm working with Rihanna. She's a designer at Remain Homes. She's a designer and her husband is a contractor, an engineer.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so like now it's like kind of like her part. She's been helping me pick out, like figuring out like what my style is and what Superman style is. And we're getting to the part now where we're going to, you know, probably in like a week or so, really get down to the design portion of the program. So I'm excited about that.
Very exciting. I feel yes. like this is a very long, stressful week. It's only Tuesday, but at the end of this week, we are moving in to our house.
Da-da-da-da. Yo, so many changes. Changes. How do you feel?
I feel like I'm finally letting myself get excited. It's been about a month longer than we were originally planning. We thought we'd be in before Thanksgiving, but I'm letting myself start getting excited. I'm also getting nervous because I can't believe the calendar is like telling me that Christmas is a week and a half away, but I just don't understand.
Yikes. I have not bought anything. Oh my gosh. Now you, thanks for saying that. Now I have anxiety about Christmas.
You should probably buy some stuff. I don't know why my siblings decided this year we were going to do presents for everybody. There's no white elephant. There's no giving people a break.
What?
I know, but I'm going with like books, you know, I'm trying to respect my own budget and husband and I don't think we're going to be doing gifts for each other. We keep talking about it and I'm like, let's go check that mint.com profile one more time. And before we discuss getting each other presents, cause that's kind of silly.
I don't think we're going to do presents, but we're doing like my team and I are doing using something called Elfster. So that's like, you know, the white elephant where you kind of just exchange gifts. And then my sisters and I, we use this website called Draw Name. So I still have to order. The good thing about like Elfster is that because everyone on my team lives in a different like state. So when you order it, it goes directly to their house. So we just got a message today saying tomorrow is the last day to order for it to get there on time. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to do that tonight. And like, it was cute because I think our budget for Elfster was like $15. So though who I got, they chose all these $25 things. I'm like, did they not see the budget? Because... Now I'm like, what should I do? Because the person who I got chose either really cheap things, which were like $5. So you can't exactly send like a $5 gift, or they chose like $25 things. And obviously, I mean, I'm going to get the $25 things, but I definitely was like, the rules state
Well so, played. They're like, she doesn't want to feel cheap. But she doesn't like confrontation, so she's not going to tell me to choose. Stick to the rules.
Exactly. But, you know, we it's a surprise. We don't know who has who. But that's just funny. I was like, so I guess you're getting this $25 bag. So, no. But I'm excited because we're actually going to do, like, on Slack, we're going to have a virtual Christmas party or a virtual holiday party.
Oh, fun. How does that work? I've got some remote workers, and I felt bad, so I was going to send them. We're doing, like, our office dinner this week, like an office party. And then for the remote workers, I was just going to send them, like, a gift to their homes.
Honestly, I don't know how to do it. They're planning it, which I think that was really cute. And I was like, how is this going to work?
Do you BYOB? Like,
everybody could be drunk on Slack video. Like, hey, girl.
But listen, at least if at a holiday party, there's no evidence in writing of the things that you say to people. Like, I don't know. Well, that sounds like that's cute, though.
It is cute.
We did go to Home Depot and bought Christmas lights. So that was probably when I started feeling excited. I mean, we'll have Christmas lights and a Christmas tree. We may not have like a shower door, but you know, small things will happen after the new year. But I'm just so ready to get in there. And we may not have a countertop for a while, but it's going to be fine.
No, but the fact that you're in, I'm looking forward. We're likely not going to get in until late January, early February. But either way, I'm excited. This is like a side, like a random, but I thought this was a good, like for those of you who are, like business owners. So one of the things that my business partner did is that he sometimes, because he travels all over, he sometimes forgets to make meetings. And now he is he's our CMO as well. So he's my business partner, but he's also my chief marketing officer. So because he's like a marketing genius, he's great at it. So we have a marketing team meeting every Tuesday, and he missed two of them because he woke up late or whatever. So the last time, I guess he was like, okay, I want to be more responsible. So the last time he missed it, he was like, moving forward, every time I miss a team meeting, everyone who's supposed to be on me, I think it's like, I want to say six of us that are on the marketing team meeting, that every time I miss a team meeting, I will PayPal each person on the team for the marketing team, $50. And I guess that was his way of like, you know, making sure he's like, unless I give you 24-hour notice. So we were like, everybody was like, yes, okay. He missed the meeting today. When I tell you the team is yes, they're like, we don't even need you to show up. So everyone is dropping their PayPal link, talking about pay me via friends and family so I can avoid fees. So like, I just thought that was a really good, like, do you do anything like that to kind of like, you know, especially with the new year approaching, like you're trying to correct behavior? Are there things that you do, like, you know, like a swear jar or whatever that like help you to correct your behavior? So he's trying to correct behavior about like showing up and being on time. And so, you know, paying that $50, it can be upwards of $400 that he would have to pay on Tuesdays if he forgets to make it or at least forgets to give us notice. So what things do you have in place that's like, that are like, oh, you know, this is going to help me not to forget to do what it is that I set out to do, or to stop doing a behavior that's no longer, that's not helpful or useful.
Yeah. Tweet us at the BA podcast on Twitter, or you can email us at brandambitionpodcast@gmail.com.
But I meant you, Mandra. YouTube.
Me. Oh man. I feel like my lifestyle is so out of whack. My big resolution is just to get back in the gym and start eating healthy again in 2019, because living not in a real house and like my routine being thrown off, like for the past 4 or 5 months, it's been bad. I need to get back on it. Yeah. So that's my goal for 2019. Get back to regular Mandy that I recognize. It hasn't helped that like work has not slowed down. And I think I'm finally seeing the error of my ways. You know how you hear people say you just have to plan your life, like as if, I don't know what people say, but I feel like I keep telling myself when work slows down. And I've been saying that for 2 years. Yeah. And it's not slowing down. So like, I need to do something different.
Yep. And I know exactly how you feel. 'Cause you're right. You, I guess, I don't know, maybe when we were like in high school or college, like there were, you know what it is? There were like peaks and valleys where it's like, oh, the semester is closing. So yes, life has slowed down because I'm not doing all my final papers and stuff. But as an adult, you realize that that never happens.
I thought there would be. Like, even summer isn't summer. You know, summer was going to be chill and then, you know, crazy things happen. I don't know what. And Q1 is going to, like, it's just, ugh.
Yeah. You know you're an adult when you start to say Q1. Oh, my gosh.
I know. I heard myself. The times I said it. The number of spreadsheets I have open right now that say Q1 in them, I can't even tell you. I'm like, which one is this? It's just a bit over. I mean, it's not overwhelming. I'm still enjoying it, but I also feel like I have to put a line somewhere and, like, carve out time. Like, I can't keep using that as an excuse not to go to the gym. I can't keep using that as an excuse to stay at work every night until 8 o'clock. It's not like it's going to be temporary, you know? It's going to be until I say, nope, I'm leaving, or nope, I'm doing this because it's for my health. I just can't keep using it as an excuse or waiting because it's not going to happen. Like, I need to be the one to put that barrier, put that wall up, you know, boundary up.
Yeah. No, it's true. Once you, like, it's not easy, but it's more than doable. But you're right. If you don't put the boundary up, the boundary is not going to come and knock on your door and say, hey, here I am, boundaries.
Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
I just went to the doctor with it yesterday. Yes, please do. So yesterday they took I had an IUD. And did I mention that they put an IUD in? Because when, you know, like when you're like, let's just say you, I don't know, cut your hand or whatever, that your skin gathers together to heal itself, right? And so I had all the fibroids taken out. It was almost a year ago. Well, yeah, it was January. So I got all the fibroids taken out and my uterus was healing, but it kept healing together and creating scar tissue. And it created a lot the first time because I had like 16 fibroids removed. They took out the scar tissue. But your body is doing what it knows to do, which is healing again and created more scar tissue. So I had like another scar tissue remover and there was one little piece left. So what they did was they put an IUD. So that's usually the thing that you put it so you don't get pregnant, but it's like the one without the medicine or whatever keeps you from. It's not just the medicine that stops you from getting pregnant. When you have an obstruction inside your uterus, your body instinctively knows that you can't have an obstruction and a baby grow there. So just like, a baby won't take. So anyway, the IUD was in there to basically hold my uterus open because it's like, think of it like almost like a pogo stick, you know, like it's like bouncy. And so, but it's a stick and it basically was holding my uterus open so it could heal away from itself at the sides of itself. So it worked. My uterus is totally clear. It looks great. But so the last time I went and so technically, during my next cycle, I should be able to start IVF, but I had a cyst on my ovary. And I was like, what? A cyst? And she was like, no, it's common that women, like, just in general, like, let's just say you have a particularly rough ovulation. I don't know. Like, if you got a lot of cramps or whatever, it's common for your ovaries to have a cyst, and cysts will grow and break on their own. You know, almost like a pimple. Think about it that way.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, okay. So she was like, so it's normal. But she was like, we can't do IVF with a cyst though on your ovary. So we're next time you come, we'll do like a ultrasound. It should go away on its own. And if it doesn't, it's going to go away on its own anyway, but it could be 2 months. It could be 2 weeks, you know, there's no way, just like with your pimple. Exactly. But what she did tell me was that the next time I come in like 3 or 4 weeks, they'll do an ultrasound. And if it hasn't gone away, they'll put me on birth control because birth control will make the process faster. So she was like, we'll put you on birth control for like a week or two. and it will make the cysts go away faster, and then we can start the actual. It's been a year's worth of prep, the actual IVF process. Honestly, it hasn't been like, I know people are like, are you disheartened? I'm like, no, because it's not like, I was watching this interview with Gabrielle Union, and she did IVF like 8 or 9 times, and it just didn't take. So I haven't had any disappointment yet because we haven't tried it. It's just really been like prepping me to be able to. So I honestly, it's just been, the process hasn't been disheartening. It's just been like, okay, take out the fibroids. Okay, take out the scar tissue and take out the scar tissue and take out more scar tissue. Okay, there's a cyst that'll go away. If it doesn't go away, take some birth control. It'll go away. And so once we actually start the process, that's when it's like, okay, everything is in place. So I've got two choices. I've got a choice to get the fertilized egg, embryo. I can get in my embryo tested for like Down syndrome, this and that, but some doctors will tell you not to because they worry that you'll like any bothering of the embryo, you put it at risk, you know? Like, so she was like, cause I told her I wanted to get tested. Cause I was just not that I don't, there's no Down syndrome or anything in my family, but I just wanted to make sure that we chose the healthiest egg possible. And she was like, you know, you can, but we're already going to choose the healthiest sperm and the healthiest egg, you know? So, and if I do that, there is a possibility for twins, because if they don't do the testing, then she's going to put two embryos inside me because there's a likelihood of one not making it, you know? So what they do is that's why you see so many women who go through the IVF process. So many women have twins. It's because typically they will try and put two because, you know, your first time that you do it, your body is, I forget what my sister called it. Sister, your body is, basically it's like when you first go on your diet, your body is shocked into into successful behavior because it's like, whoa, you know, like you're eating a lot of lettuce. We haven't had lettuce in so long. You're drinking a lot of water. So all of a sudden you're losing weight faster than maybe like week 3 into your diet. So same thing with IVF that like she was like, we want to basically double the opportunity for you to have a successful, you know, pregnancy. And they put two. That's why you see so many women, like I said, with twins. So if I get my egg tested, they only put one. If I don't get it tested, they put two, and then I have a potential for twins. So that's like my choice now to decide, like, what do I want to do? You know, I kind of want a twin, but then I'm also like, yikes. But she's not doing it for me to have twins. Cause you don't like, she's like, no, she's like, I'm not here to give you twins. I'm here to just give you the potential to have, the healthiest baby, possible. So I either start in a few weeks or I start next month with the actual cycle. And by then I have to decide, like, do I want one that's tested or do I want two that are untested, but knowing that they picked the healthiest version of me and the healthiest version of Superman to put forth. So that's kind of a decision we have to make. There's so much I've learned so much from like about my reproduction system and so much about like what it takes. And you just don't realize, I can't believe how many women women go through this. And like my younger sister, Carol, she had two kids, boom, boom. She and her husband, you know, like it was like, I think she got I think it was like her honeymoon night, you know? And then she had her first, and then like literally a year or so later, she had her second, no issues whatsoever, you know? But then here I am and I'm like having so much trouble. You just never know. That's my update. So hopefully within a month or two, well, if I do get pregnant a month or two, I'm not going to tell y'all because you're really supposed to wait like 3 or 4 months, you know?
Fair enough.
So, I mean, I'll tell you, Mandy, but like, you know, that within a month or two, I'll actually be pregnant. And then within 3 or 4 months of being like in like past the danger zone, that's just the danger zone for every woman, whether you have fibroids or not, you're really supposed to wait 3 or 4 months because you miscarriages are way more common than women share. And so, you know, it's just within a month or two, you know, anything can happen. It's time for questions. Now that I talk you guys' ear off and didn't let poor Mandy get a word in edgewise. It's time for questions. If you have a question, where can they email us?
You can go to brownambitionpodcast.com and click Ask Us Anything. Or you can hit us up on Twitter like listener Casey did today. I'll read her question at the BA Podcast on Twitter. Or hit us up at Brown Ambition Podcast on Instagram.
.com. Well, not .com.
The gram.
That is the gram.
Let's get to Twitter user listener Casey's direct message that she sent us last week. Casey says, "Hi, ladies. I love your podcast. I need some advice. I have a credit card at a really high interest rate of about 25%. I got it when I was young, so my usage is at 75%. I've been paying it off but not seeing much progress. I want to be wise about my credit usage. I have another card that's almost paid off too. I also have a credit union that could give me a personal loan to consolidate both cards and pay it off at a significantly lower rate. Is it worth it?" Good question. Yes, it's worth it. If that personal loan has a lower interest rate than 25%, 100% it's worth it to use it to pay off that credit card. And then the good thing about personal loans is that they're a fixed rate over a fixed period of time. Yeah. Unlike a credit card, you're not going to keep seeing that interest accrue like on top of interest month after month and just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. You get a fixed rate. They tell you how long it'll take you to pay it off, and you know exactly when you will have that loan paid off. The interest rate's baked into your payments, basically.
And something too that's like good about a loan in that way is that I think it's 15% of your score is type of debt, right? So like a credit card is considered revolving debt. So that's like that like basically never ends because you charge it, use it, pay it off. But with a personal loan, yeah, that's an installment loan. So you get like a little bit of a credit mix. So as you pay off both of them, you're going to see a boost, and that'll just give you a little extra boost because you have a different type of debt to show that you know how to be good with your credit and your creditors.
Yeah, 100%. Next question from listener Amy. Another credit question. Amy says, "My credit score is steadily rising and I'm quite proud of it, but now I need a new vehicle. My current car is almost 10 years old. The door handles fall off and there is a clicking sound happening under the hood that no one can seem to figure out. Recently, my son was involved in an accident with his grandmother and he received a $15,000 check from the insurance company. My options, as I see it, are to either use about $10,000 of that money to put a down payment on a used vehicle, so my car note will be paid off quickly and easily, put the remaining $5,000 into a savings account for my son, or I could just use $5,000 of that insurance money to pay off my credit card debts and put the $10,000 in savings for my son, since it really is his money. And then I would just take out a new loan to pay for my car through my credit union. Basically, my question is, what would you do if this were your situation?" So her son, I know this is a lot to unpack. Mm-hmm. Her son was in an accident. He's got $15,000 from the insurance company that I'm assuming he's a minor. And so his mom wants to get the okay, can I use this money for me, even though technically it should be his since he was involved in the accident. So she's either going to take $10,000 to pay down her car. Oh, sorry, $10,000 to pay down her car and buy a new one and only save $5,000 for her son, or flip it and save $10,000 for her son and then use $5,000 to pay off her credit card debt and then take out a new loan to get a car. Tricky.
I know it is.
Ethical question here.
Well, I'll say this. I don't know how old her son is, that, you know, like your car is not like some... It's not like you're using it for like shenanigans. Like you're like, I want to go on vacation, you know, that like your car is I'm assuming is how you get to work, which is how you pay your bills and how you put food on the table. So, you know, I'm not opposed to using some of the money to make sure that you can ensure that you can continue to provide for your son. You know, I don't, you know, if possible, I wouldn't want to use all of it, which is what you suggested. And I don't know, I probably wouldn't feel comfortable putting it toward my credit card debt because I'd be like, well, these are my choices that I've made. Like, I feel like I said, a car, especially in certain states, it really is a necessity. This is not a, you know, this is not a luxury. Like, I have to have a car to go to work. So I feel like I lean more toward that, although it's more money toward what you, and it's, do you have to put down 10? Like, what can you afford, you know?
Yeah, that's true. She says use $10,000 of the money to put a down payment on a used vehicle so my note would be paid off quickly and easily. I mean, you want a used vehicle that's good and reliable because she has a son. $10K on a used car, you know, that's not for a good used car.
Yeah.
We got a used car that was, well, 1 year pre-owned. That was more than that. So, I mean, it's not, I don't think it's out. It's outrageous to spend on a reliable car.
Yeah, you know, because mine was, I think it was 2 years. Like, you know, I think my car was a year or two old and it was $22,000. So you're right. You put down $10K. You're thinking like if a car is $15,000 to $20,000 for a used car that's still really reliable, maybe only a year or two old, maybe certified pre-owned. Let's just say $20,000. You put down $10,000. You pay $10,000 off over the next 3 years. So that's not crazy. I feel like I leave more to that. Because how do you feel about Mandy about using the money to pay off credit card debt?
I mean, I know logically if the credit card debt has a higher interest rate than her car loan would be, then it would make sense to pay it off first. But I mean, I see what you're saying. Like if it's credit card debt, I feel like getting a new car, you could at least say, well, this will benefit my son and my family and my household for time to come. And she doesn't say she has that much credit card debt. She seems like she says a little bit of credit card debt. That's not very much. So if you put $10K, get a reliable car, and then like you say, $5,000 in savings for your son, and then you make a plan to pay off the rest of your credit card debt, and promise not to dip into that $5,000 you've saved for him. Then I think that's two birds with one stone. But at the end of the day, it's what you live with and what you're happy with.
Mm-hmm. And as long as, like you said, like I think Mandy and I are on the same page, is that the money should benefit your son, even if indirectly, because benefiting you as a mom, especially a mom of a child that's a minor, then like, you know, making sure that you and your household are okay is what's important. And so just making a choice that does that, you know?
Yeah. Because you don't want to get into car debt either. It's a really interesting question. I like this question because it's one of the more challenging ones that we've had, and it's not so black and white, and there's a lot of different ways you could go. So thanks for asking it. I don't know that there's a perfect answer.
Yeah.
There's so many, and only you know your situation. I feel like that's the kind of question I feel like my mom and my dad had to answer a lot when I was growing up, how to give and take. And really, it's what would you feel proud telling your son that you did? Yes. You know, when he's older, think of it that way. I think you could totally justify, we needed a car for the house and for our family, and I still saved you this amount in your savings, and that's that.
Yeah, I agree.
Thank you for your challenging and interesting question, Amy. Again, you can hit us up at brownambitionpodcast.com with your questions.
Boost and break. I think I'm gonna go first because mine is a little bit sad. So I'm like, not sad for me, but sad for this young girl. The young woman, Cyntoia Brown. You know, she killed I think she was like 15 or 16, and she killed. She was a victim of sex trafficking, and She killed I think it was like a 43-year-old man, and because after he solicited her for sex, he was 43. She was 16. She said he was she thought he was reaching under his bed to get a gun. Meanwhile, after he had sex with her as a minor, and she had been, you know, it wasn't, you know, a choice. She had been trafficked. And so she got, she's been in jail since that time. And now in Tennessee, they're saying she's going to have to serve out 51 years in prison before she's eligible for parole. Isn't that crazy?
That's so sad.
And it is. And so that's just my break, because it's just, this is not, and it was unanimous, the decision. And I'm just like, that just seems so, a 43-year-old man can could basically rape, because you can't consent at 16 in the United States of America, can basically rape a child that has been trafficked. So I'm assuming if she's 16 and this is happening, I can't imagine how long she's been in this industry and, you know, being afraid for her life and killing someone who raped her, basically. I just don't even know what that means. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I just feel like more of us need to say things about it. Like, remember that young boy who had influenza? Isn't that so crazy? Remember? And it was he took his car and I can't remember the crime he committed, but basically he took someone's life and they said, oh, he had influenza. He had so much influence that he didn't even know what he was doing. He didn't get like any time. Or the young man that raped an intoxicated woman. She was unconscious. He got 6 months. I don't even know. You know what I mean? Like, what?
Yeah, like if she weren't a woman of color, do you think it would have been the same outcome?
Of course not. Yeah. And imagine if she was a woman of color and the man she killed, because I think the man she killed was white and the man she killed was black. If she was white and the man she killed was black, there wouldn't have been any of this. And it's a shame, because it's like, what? This girl has never caught a break. Like, you know, being sex trafficked at 16, Lord only knows when it started. And yeah, for it to be, she's not going to be eligible for parole until she's 69 years old. Like, what does that even mean? This is not someone who is a danger to society. This is someone who his society has been a danger to her, you know? Yeah, so that's my boost. That's my break. It's just like, it's hard when these types of things happen, because you're like, well, what do you do? Do you, you know, besides bring attention to it, what can be done? Because this just seems like, how is this okay that this young girl should have suffered all of this time and then to have to suffer even more for her lifetime, like a full lifetime. It just.
Well, I was going to take a brown boost for office holiday parties, but I feel kind of awkward now. We're talking about the criminal justice system.
It's always good. I mean, sometimes I usually take a boost, so it's good. Let's end with a boost.
Yeah, my office holiday party. So our team is growing, and I'm very, very excited that we're doing like a little office party this Friday, and it'll be a good, like, I've been talking about how hard we've been working, and I feel like everyone just deserves a night to kick back and have fun and have all the margaritas. We're going to a Mexican restaurant.
We're gonna do a digital one. So we did this thing, like, my team, like, we use Elfster that I mentioned earlier. And so we're going to have a digital office party. I'm excited to see how it's going to go.
Let me know how that goes, because I feel awkward because we have part of our team's remote. And I'm like, all right, maybe don't post in the Slack how much fun we're having.
Oh, you guys use Slack too?
Oh, yeah. Who doesn't use Slack? Everyone uses Slack.
Right? I love Slack. I hope that you think Slack is not public yet, right? I hope they go public so I can buy their stock.
I am done buying stock. Listen, all the stocks I chose this summer are just like crashed and burned. And I'm like, I mean, I cut my losses. I didn't put that much in, but I'm like, let me just stick to index funds. I'm done. I don't have the tolerance for it. Shout out to anyone who has the patience and picks good stocks, but I think I'm going to just stick to my target date fund. That's fine.
Yeah, no, I'm starting to get into index funds a little bit more, but I still like to play with stocks just for fun. Like you said, it's kind of like my,
it's not fun the money when you lose that I money. Know. Oh, I don't like it. I only want to play if I win.
Oh, well, it's been a good show.
This is your warning, a week and a half till Christmas, you guys.
Yes, if you have not ordered your things from wherever you're ordering them from, you might want to do it this week.
Just saying, Amazon Prime.
Yes, for real. I'm actually like, I'm going to take a day and be like, this is my Christmas shopping day online. And sometimes I'll go like to the stores, but like only during the day, like a Tuesday at 2 when everyone's at work.
I can't go to stores because I buy stuff for myself. That's how I try and prevent myself from making bad decisions. Just don't put yourself in a situation where you make bad decisions. Like, don't go to Pier 1 or Home Goods by yourself. Oh,
mm-hmm. Yes. Those stores now are so addictive now, right?
Yes, they are. Well, have a good rest of your week. And next week will be the last week before Christmas, and we'll be taking a couple of weeks off, right?
Sure.
A little Brown Ambition break or a little holiday break.
Okay, that'd be cool.
Okay, good.
Feliz Navidad. Not yet.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.